This week on Potlatch, Nuchilawoya, 1972. Nuchilawoya is coming up in June in Tanana this year, and we look back to 1972, reminiscences of the Nuchilawoya Festival of that year, as recorded by Roger and Karen McPherson.
Nuchilawoya, where the two rivers meet, has been a gathering place for interior natives since there have been people along the Tanana and Yukon rivers. In the distant past, native groups met to have council meetings and trade. Games and competition between tribes added excitement to the gathering, held only every 4 years because of the long river journeys in birch bark canoes. Nuchilawoya had as many as 20,000 natives gathering over a 3-mile stretch of river. Hudson Stuck describes why Indians from all parts of the interior came to Nuchilawoya. The confluence of the Yukon and Tanana has always been an important point and probably always will be. Before the white man's time, it was the great summer gathering place, and Indians from far up the Tanana River and even from the upper Kuskokwim met here with those from the upper and lower Yukon for barter of furs and commodities. Just as the mouth of the Kobuk River in Kotzebue Sound has for ages been the summer meeting and trading place from the Eskimos from Point Barrow to Cape Prince of Wales, and still gathers many hundreds every year, so this place, Nuchilawoya in the native tongue, between the rivers, was the great rendezvous of the Indians of the interior. By trade with the coast Indians of Prince William Sound and the Lynn Canal, with Eskimos from Bering Sea who came into not infrequent contact with ships and sailors, well before the close of the 18th century, and by trade with the tribes of the Mackenzie who dealt with the Hudson's Bay Company's posts, passing from hand to hand, from tribe to tribe, the white man's axes and files and knives were brought here and distributed over the interior. Another writer, Robert Marshall, recreates the scene on the banks of the Yukon as it was before Russian and English traders established posts along the Yukon. As many as 600 Indians gathered at Nuchilawoya at a time, and they came from as far away as the Kuskokwim and the Koyukuk, the upper Tanana and the Chandalar. Their birch bark canoes lined the banks, and their skin tents crowded the shore. Pelts and dried caribou pemmican were swapped, along with hunks of raw copper from the headwaters of the White River, and dentalium shells that had passed hand to hand all the way from the coast of British Columbia. The trade fair was as much a festive as a commercial occasion. Men danced long and wildly, their necklaces of wolf ears and mallard duck scalps jogging up and down to the rhythm, the sweat of the effort streaking their makeup of charcoal and powdered cinnabar. Songs were sung, dirge-like and minor in key. Endless stories were told and a year's gossip exchanged. The young men fought wrestling matches, ran races, and pulled in tug-of-war contests with each tribe trying to outperform the others. The festival went on through the night of the Northern Light. No one took time out to sleep. Even after traders established a post at Nuchilawoya, the celebration continued. Then, for many years, the time of gathering was forgotten. In 1962, Jay Howard of Montana began Nuchilawoya once again. Today, people no longer come by birch bark canoe. Airplanes and motorboats are used instead. But the games and competition are still there, as well as native dancing. Here is Nuchilawoya as it happens today.
It looks like a race boat coming down. There's two boats.
Oh, I moved down here from Rampart in 1903, the year of 1903. I was a little boy then. And Mr. Prevost was here. He was running the mission up there. He was the priest there. And from there on, we left here all the way through. And there was a post down here already, the army post. A lot of soldiers then. And there was four stores, four saloons, four restaurants. We never used to call it bars, but this is what they used to call it, saloons. And there were a lot of people. But long before that, they had Al Mayo was the one that had the store, first store here. I don't know what year, could be 1900 or a couple of years before. But when I was here, he wasn't there. Maybe about 10 years before that time, Alfred Starr's father told me that there was little trading posts right where the gravel pit is, but they knocked that thing out. I used to see the foundation. It don't look to me like about 20 by or 18 by 20, and that's the trading post he had. And they say all he had was in the store, leaf tobacco, gunpowder, sack of oats, that's rolled oats, and few shells, and muzzle loader, one gun, leaf tobacco. I said, yeah. And I forgot what else. That's all in that trading post for sale.
Just have this old-time gun?
Yeah. Old man Starr told me this. He was walking by there. So there, he's the first one that put up a little trading post there, all right, for the native. But I forgot his name, too. You know, nothing written down. So afterwards, I don't know what happened to him. And then the army or the people moved into the village up there first, long before. I don't know how many years before, over 150 years ago, I guess. That's the main place where all the Taina people, Taina River Indian, way up Taina Cross, come and meet each other and up from Portucan and down river, all in birch bark canoe and birch bark peter bark, like, you know. And they paddle all the way from Taina Cross all the way down to here and back again, they say, all the way for that leaf tobacco and few gunpowder.
This is Glenn Butler, the organizer of Nuchulawaya this year. How many years have you organized the event?
This is my second year.
And what kinds of things go on during Nuchulawaya?
Oh, we have canoe racing, grease board walking, native dancing, and singing, covered dish or potlatch.
I noticed that there were prizes for some of the events. Where does the money come from?
Well, it came from, we were having bingo games all winter, and that's how the only reason we got over $1,700 worth.
And how about the food? Who donates the food for the potlatch or for the covered dish?
We ask around for donations of meat and fruit and vegetables. Anyway, we just ask around for meat donations. That's only reason how we get our potlatches going.
What were some of the dishes last night?
Caribou meat, moose meat, and moose head soup. And that was about all we had last night. It was just that moose head soup, caribou soup, and little moose. crackers and fruit. That's about all.
How did you come to be the organizer?
I don't know, we were just sitting around. We were just sitting around talking. And then Lucas said, let's start up Mutual Way again. I mean, let's start Mutual Way this year, because I wasn't even thinking about it. And they said, when you be the organizer this year. That was 1971. And so that's just how I got started.
What does Mutual Awoya mean?
Well, Mutual Awoya means that where the two rivers meet. And there's the Yukon and Tenna. We're on that head of it.
How long has this event been celebrated?
Since it started. Jay Howard was the one that started it in 1962.
Was there a yearly celebration before that time, at this time of year?
No. It just started in 1962.
How did you decide that there would be the races and events that there are?
Well, I've been helping them off and on for about 4 or 5 years. And I just know. I just know how to fix the events, get it fixed up.
How long has it been since the community hall was built?
It's been built in 1970.
And where were the events held before that time?
Be sure and give him a big welcome. Give him a good hand.
You mean, how you mean?
Well, like the potlatch and the dancing.
Oh, we had the, there's an old community hall back here. And we've been having it in there. We can hold it in there.
How many people would you estimate came in for this Mutual Awoya from out of town?
At least about 100.
In past years, have there been more people come in?
Yes, just the year that the most people came in.
What was the dance with the cross that went
around? Oh, yeah, that's how they used to do years ago. You know, they welcome everybody. Of course, everybody has to be out there dancing with that clock, you know. All the outsiders. It's supposed to be divided amongst the outsiders.
The Mutual Awoya celebration started after 1961.
Yes, this version of it, this what they call this version of it started after 1961.
And who started it up again?
Huh?
Who started it up?
He was just calling this man from Montana that used to work at the FAA.
Jay Howard.
The natives used to come down here from all over to have meetings. Maybe that's every 4 years. But this river coming together. It's always been our central point. They had a fish camp up the river here, different places, but especially one at Rapids where they used to stick with dip nets. And that's a long time ago. And they used to put up maybe half a bill of fish, which is about 50 pounds of keen salmon, and they can take it back up Kent Island, down the river or up Tanana River, and that'll help their meat supplies for the winter, whichever. So it's always been central. And I was talking about the beach meeting here, we'll call it neutral earth anyway, that big gathering they used to have. My mother said, and my father, my mother anyway, she was the only one that told me, my father didn't think too much about it, that they had one big one that was a very long time before I was ever born. My mother must have been a young then. She said there must have been about 20,000 natives scattered up here though.
20,000?
About 20,000, the way she talked. It went from on the other side of Tanana River, where the Tanana River really hits an old Frank camp. That's how many miles is that, George? About three?
About 3 miles.
3 miles. And it went back about 2 miles or 2 miles and a half, she said. That was all camp. And they talk a different dialect, and they had different potlatches and different meetings. And she said you can hear them all over. Indians all used together here every once in a while to have a meeting, you know, the old times, you know, so that they can talk about their hunting grounds and tribal relations and how they're going to get along with each other. About they hold a certain amount of land for their hunting grounds and things like that. Well, they're talking there. They're government-like. That form of government that Indians used to live under, you see. And that's how this neutral way got started. Before the first chief meeting, those two men called me, if they ever did, well, why don't we start having a chief meeting down Tanana then? See, and that's how that... And this man from Montana got a hold of that, this Mutula White, and George was just telling you about it. That's the story. As far as I know about this Mutula White, you know, that started a long time ago. The old Indians used to come here. And the one that my mother was talking about, that must have been a big one, and I don't know how much before different times. He came from all the rivers, up Kaikuk, up Kentishna, up Tanana, up Yukon, and the rivers and creeks, rivers that comes into the Yukon. And so they must have a big gathering here at different times. That's where the white people came.
Some days they used to... If coming down the Tanana River, they'll go up so far above Mission. Then they get together, all the canoes get together, all birch bark canoe and birch bark boat. Then they start to cross. They'll be shooting there to notify the people down here at the village up there. Then when they get above, half a mile above Mission, crossing the river, then they all tie a boat together like this all the way across, canoes and all the way. Then they started to shoot rifle in the water. Then the Tanana people, like his father and all, Chief William, everybody, get a lot of ammunition for the boys. Some boys running down here to get some more. And they started to shoot towards each other. I mean, you know, they don't shoot towards each other, but they watch where. After they do a lot of shooting, then they land it, and then they all get up on the bank, and the first thing they start to dance first. This what they call it. Washed up dance. Yeah.
Ring dance.
No, ring dance. And then afterwards, the pot lads. People that's cooking.
What kinds of foods are you making?
Meat. Oh, we got moose. Caribou. Caribou head. I mean, moose head there.
How are you going to make the moose head soup?
Well, I figured the server about 6 o'clock, so I'm going to put this head here at about 4 o'clock and let it boil. Boil for about a couple hours and then get all that fat.
Mm-hmm.
Make it good and nice and rich.
What do you add to it?
Oh, potatoes. All different kinds of vegetables. Potatoes, macaroni, and so forth. Tomatoes. And all your canned stuff. Vegetables of all kinds, we put that in after we take the pots off.
Mm-hmm.
But we let the macaroni, rice, and potatoes, we let that boil for about 30 minutes. Then take the pots off, then put your canned stuff in there, all the vegetables, tomatoes, so forth.
So you're mainly going to have meat dishes for the potlatch tonight? How many people have brought the food?
Well, we have a few here. We got between now and 6 o'clock. We'll have enough.
Do you feed the whole community?
Yeah.
One time. Maybe over here behind the hall. Figured about 600 people, I suppose.
Wow. How'd you guys get to be the cooks?
Well, how we don't. Well, they ask us if we want to cook. That's the way we. That's the way they do it.
Somebody.
If one man don't cook, well, next man has to cook. So they ask. They just ask us if we want to cook, and
you said you would. They know you were a good cook.
Well, I've been cooking for potlatch like this for about, I don't know, about 10 years, I guess. I don't know. I don't keep track, actually. I just get out here and help the boys cook.
We're going to have the old man's 100-yard dash.
Daddy, you're going to
at least 45 and over. 45 to 210. If you're older than that, you can't get in.
Running?
Yeah. Old man's race, at least 45 and over.
Dash.
Prize is prize boxes. That's after this event of the girls' archery contest. After.
That's where they had little cannons set. When that thing go off in a boom, then you got to take off, run. So they all lined up down there, but I was, my, like I told you, my mother and them was awful poor, and
My uncle was sick all the time. I had poor clothes on. Pants was offered oversized, and old big rubber shoes, tight hair, you can't run in that. And I had rope for belt. They come to me, George, you got a chance. No, the Auburn boys dress good. I don't want people to laugh at me, I don't know why. Then Patsy, they call it, Johnny Patsy, I think. Tom Patsy. From New Lat. He ran down, George, put this slipper on. We'll tie it on your feet. Everybody talk about you. They're going to start the line. They're all down there now, putting that. So I put that on, I took my jacket off, and I started, I tightened my rope here and my pants. I run all the way down. They wait for me. They holler to them. I run there and just get in the front. So I got in the front. 15. So when the cannon goes, you better take off. They say. And so many times I was scared by my uncle. I can just jump like that anytime when they holler. So bang, I took off. I was the smallest. Well, three of us were smallest. Johnny Folger and the way from Kirkuk, another good runner. So we start down the post and run all the way. Just like I don't hear anybody behind. So I kept going, all the storekeepers, they said, come on, George, go ahead, give it up. You want the $10 bill. That's a lot of money them days. I got to the line. I won the first prize. Then Johnny Folger got second, this old Willie Folger brother, oldest brother. Then Louis from Kirkuk got third. None of the soldiers went. So all that day, I got on every prize. When I got through, I made $42 that day. I never forget that $42. I was so rich. I don't know what to do.
The people you've heard on this program were Glenn Butler, Alice Thompson, the Stevens Village Dancers, the Tananaw Village Dancers, Alfred Starr, George Edwin, and the people of Tananaw.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.